I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a six-round pick. Those are all phenomenal, all-time great six-round picks, as a matter of fact, all made by the Steelers organization. But you want to talk about the odds being stacked against Howard. Listen to this. So Tom Brady was picked in 2000. He was pick 199. He went in the sixth round. There have been 46 quarterbacks drafted in the sixth round since Brady in 2000. So from 2001 on, 46 quarterbacks have been picked in the sixth round. Donnie, how many of them do you think have a winning record as an NFL quarterback? 46 QBs since Brady was picked in the sixth round. How many went on to have winning records as an NFL quarterback?
The only name I'd be confident saying is Brock Purdy.
He was a seventh round pick.
So right.
I'm saying six round picks.
Sixth or later.
Sixth round picks.
46 guys, how many have winning records?
Yep.
I'll say like four.
One. This is funny. The only quarterback picked in the sixth round that has a winning record since Tom Brady is Drew Henson. And he went 1-0, and his lone win is a game he started and got benched in.
Cowboys, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think it was on Thanksgiving. He's the only quarterback that went in the sixth round since Brady that has a winning record. Tyrod Taylor's 500. He's the closest. Gardner Minshew won 17 games that had a bad record. So many of these six-round picks either play and stink or never get a chance. Or in the case of Taylor, like he's a journeyman who's been around for a while and went to the playoffs with the Bills and has had a really good, like, long career as far as six-round picks go. But, like, if I were to rank all of those quarterbacks that have gone in the sixth round since Brady, our buddy Bruce Gradkowski would be in the top five. And Bruce was, other than, you know, his time with the Raiders and his rookie year with Tampa under Gruden, Bruce was a backup quarterback. Like, as much as I want to believe in Will Howard, the stats and facts back this up. If he's a backup quarterback who gets a second contract, Donnie, that would be a good career. Based on his peers or based on history with quarterbacks in the sixth round, most six-round pick quarterbacks do not get a second contract. They're one and done. They play 4 years or less in the NFL. So that's what Will Howard's fighting. And he's got a great attitude, and he's a winner. Gruden's right about that. The guy won at Kansas State. He didn't win a national championship, but he won a Big 12 title there. He was a winner at Ohio State, the greatest of winners, the biggest winner, the national champion, one for one there. And I do give the guy credit for, you know, they took the ball out of his hands, actually, against Michigan is what happened. They wanted to run the ball against Michigan right into the teeth of that defense, and we saw those Michigan's defensive linemen. I mean, Grant and Graham went in the first round, and that's what they tried to do in that game, was beat Michigan on the ground and try to beat them at what they did best, and that's why they lost. And Howard wasn't good either. I mean, he threw a horrible interception in that game, but he bounced back significantly in the playoffs against Tennessee and against Oregon. He was tremendous. Notre Dame in the national championship game. But, I mean, history would tell you that he's not going to be a good NFL quarterback. History would tell you that what John Gruden is saying, Will Howard is the steal of the draft, that he'll be wrong. But I've got a soft spot for this guy. Like, part of me thinks he will be. the steal of the draft. And me personally, like, I want to see this guy play this year. You know, I don't think you're going very far with Aaron Rodgers. And I do have hope for Mason Rudolph, but it would not take much for me to want to pull the plug on that if it looks like it did last year in Tennessee for Mason and just see what Will Howard can do. I just mentioned Gradkowski. Donnie, go look up how many games Bruce played as a rookie as a sixth-round pick in Tampa for Gruden. Because that's an example of a guy who went to a team that wasn't awful. They had quarterback injuries. They had a quarterback derby. And guys dropped like flies or didn't play well. And a six-round rookie ended up getting playing time that year. Did he make some starts?
Started 11 games.
Started 11 games as a six-round pick. As a rookie. The only other guy I can think of who did that is Minshew. And I thought Minshew... Look, if I told you right now Will Howard would have Gardner Minshew's career, do you think he'd sign up for that? I bet he would. You make Absolutely. A lot of money. He's been a starter in multiple places.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a starter a few times, and he is going to be, at worst, just a career backup the rest of the way that, like, people love because, oh, look, like, this guy's zesty when he gets in there. You don't know what could happen. You love being that guy.
If I told you that that's what Will Howard turns into for the Steelers, would you take that?
Yes.
So would I.
For a guy picked that late, absolutely.
And he's not going to play the same way. I mean, Minshew actually, like, tries to be Aaron Rodgers but doesn't have the arm talent, accuracy, or ability to pull it off. Howard is, if he's going to be a poor man's anything, it's going to be a poor man's Josh Allen. If Howard's going to be anything, he's going to try to play like Daniel Jones in the NFL. That's who he stylistically, that's who he profiles as an NFL quarterback. But, I mean, the odds would tell you there's a very, very good chance that 4 years from now, he's completely out of the NFL. But we've also seen Tom Brady and Greg Lloyd and Antonio Brown and Terrell Davis picked in the sixth round. Am I missing anybody else who's an all-time great? Sixth-round pick? Any other six-rounders in the Hall of Fame? I don't know. Those are the first guys that pop into my head. So I'd like to get your thoughts on it. I mean, yeah, he was a six-round pick, but when you've got John Gruden, who is a Super Bowl winning coach, and his whole NFL identity and really mantra is that he's a quarterback whisperer saying, Will Howard is the steal of the draft, do you agree with him? Quote, that guy's a stud. Do you feel like it might happen with him? Yes or no? And if you want to react to the Penn State thing, go ahead. Penn State fans getting a rap on this station that they're rooting against Howard. And Austin Bechtold having to fight that battle earlier today.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1. On the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's not about when, it's where. And that was what I kept saying to myself, and I had to trust in God and believe that he had a plan for me and that, you know, the right team was going to pick me. And I think 100% the right team picked me. And, you know, I'm a Pennsylvania kid. It just makes a lot of sense. And, you know, the Steelers, I feel like, is an organization that I've had a lot of respect for a lot of years. And, you know, coming into this process, I was honestly hoping that the Steelers would take me just because I felt like it was a great situation and I loved everybody in the organization, and I'm so blessed.
Will Howard, yeah, you hope the Steelers take you because they've got an unclear quarterback situation. Is that all that different from now Deion Sanders retroactively trying to say Cleveland was the right spot for Shador, even though years ago he said he or his son should pull an Eli Manning and refused to play for the Browns if drafted by them. As a late-round pick at that position, there is very little competition. I mean, even if Aaron Rodgers comes here, it's a one-year Band-Aid. And Will Howard would have a head start on the rookie who comes in next year, provided Arthur Smith doesn't get fired and it's a whole new system, which he won't because it's a three-year deal and The Steelers don't fire coaches. They only wait for their contracts to expire. I don't know. I just got a hunch that the kid's not going to be bad. And that it will, when we look back on that pick, we'll look at it as a good one. And I'm not saying I get Tom Brady vibes about Will Howard, but I do get vibes that he's created in a healthy way the same chip on his shoulder that Brady did. And he used that motivation to fuel him in college at Ohio State. And he's going to use it again. All the teams that passed on him. All the quarterbacks that got picked ahead of him. I love his mentality. I like it a lot more than Shedeur Sanders. John Gruden, Will Howard is the steal of the draft. Do you agree with him? 412-928-9370 is the telephone number. Here is Gary in Ohio on this one. Hello, Gary.
How you doing, Pony?
Hey, man.
You know, I was hoping that that's who the Steelers will get.
Well, that's because you're an Ohio State guy in Ohio. I mean, of course you're going to say that.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely an Ohio State guy, but I watched the guy play all year. He is an incredible athlete.
Well, the problem was he wasn't that good all year. He came on late, right? I mean, before the playoff, it seemed like every Ohio State fan was disappointed with the way he had played, Gary.
Well, let me give you some stats here just real quick.
Okay, I'm fine with that. Go ahead.
Second in the nation in passer rating, 175.3. He was second in the nation in completion percentage at 73%. Plus, he threw for over 4,000 yards and 35 touchdown passes. But the guy is, like you said, he's a winner. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He really does.
Do you foresee him being the Steelers' answer at quarterback, yes or no?
Absolutely. I said he's going to be the next franchise quarterback.
Who does he remind you of? When you think of past great quarterbacks, who does Gary in Ohio think of when he sees Will Howard?
Well, I think of Ben Roethlisberger, but he's actually a better – he's got more athleticism than Ben Roethlisberger.
So you see Will Howard as –
he runs a 4.46. He runs a 4.46.
So you see Will Howard as potentially a better Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh yeah.
Thank you, Gary. I just love it. I love when people have the nerve or balls to just say things like that on our show. The kid went in the sixth round. And the guy goes, he'll be better than a first ballot Hall of Famer who won two Super Bowls here and played for the Steelers for 18 years. It's just wild, man. It really is. Do we have the clip? We have the clip of him taking it. Oh, here's Big Ben's thought on Will Howard, and it's a shot at Mulsey, so we like it.
You know, there was someone I heard, there was a knock. Well, he played with a bunch of NFL caliber talent. Well, what's he going to be playing with now? Who did he beat NFL caliber talent teams to?
Right.
You know, it's just, that's the most ridiculous remark I've ever heard. I don't even know who made it.
Yeah, I think the most ridiculous thought I've heard today, though, is that our last caller, Gary, believes that Will Howard will be better than Ben Roethlisberger. Here is JR in Natrona Heights. Hello, JR.
Hi, how's everybody doing? I'm a Penn State fan, but listen to me.
Okay. Do you agree with the last guy? Do you think Will Howard will be better than Ben?
No, I don't. But I think he's going to be a good quarterback. I think he'll be good for Pittsburgh.
So you think he's going to be their starting quarterback? You think he's the franchise guy, huh?
I don't know about franchise. I think they're going to keep him. I think he's going to play well this year when he gets a chance. I don't like the idea of Aaron Rodgers at all.
Okay.
Just alone. Leave him out of the picture. There's a lot of other quarterbacks you can find. You got Rudolph. You got Howard. Howard's a good ballplayer.
Well, it's a little late to find other guys. It's May 6th, so I don't know who else you'd get out there. We'd really be down to Mason Rudolph and Will Howard if you don't get Aaron Rodgers, JR.
I agree with you, but what's so bad about that?
Oh, I don't have a problem with it. It's just 2 seconds ago you said there are other guys out there. That's all.
Well, you know, there's always a fill-in if you need them. You can find somebody.
So you think if Aaron Rodgers says, you know what, I think I'll stay out of football and end up retiring. If Will Howard plays this year, he'll be a very good quarterback for the Steelers. That's your prediction?
He kicked Penn State, but so I have no problem with it.
Thank you, JR. Here is Dave in North Huntington. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Pony. So the problem is
you know, I think he has the potential. I mean, I value Gruden's opinion much more than Tomlin's, and that's the issue.
So do I.
I don't think he's going to get the opportunity here to show what he can do. He's not going to get the reps in practice or training camp, just like they did with Kenny, who was a first-round pick. So his only chance is if he gets into some preseason games and just lights it up. But once again, I don't think they're going to call the plays to give him an opportunity to really show what he can do. I think he's in the worst place to be to progress his career and learn, because he doesn't have the coaching here or the head coach to do it with.
Well, I would like to think if Aaron Rodgers does come here, I don't think 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers is going to play a lot in the preseason. And they already know what they have in Mason Rudolph. So I would like to think of all the quarterbacks on the roster, Howard would play more than anybody else in the preseason. And if he doesn't, well, then that's more imbecile behavior from Tomlin.
Well, look what he did with Trubisky and Kenny.
Am I really in the mood to argue that with you? No. I mean, anybody who says anybody who says they don't trust Mike Tomlin to develop a quarterback, and especially one that was picked in the sixth round, and turn him into a good starter, how could I sit here and say you're wrong? I mean, I've said a few times here, I have a soft spot for the guy. I want to root for the guy, and I think there's a chance he's good. But there's also a big part of me that's like, what are you talking about? Six-round quarterbacks almost always end up being backup quarterbacks. And you're putting you're casting your lot on Tomlin and Arthur Smith developing this guy? Donnie, you want to say something here?
There have been a few people that have chimed in on the text line. One guy actually called in. He didn't want to go on air, but John Gruden also loved Nate Peterman. We've had a few people point that out, which that is the thing. When you watch these, like, Gruden quarterback camp things, they're awesome. Like, I could listen to Gruden talk football all day. And, you know, I watched the full episode on Howard. I've watched other full episodes. He does, you know, he gasses these guys up.
This Nate Peterman, it's not to cut you off, this Nate Peterman is growing on me. He's athletic. I know he's had some nightmare performances in the NFL.
Nightmare. If you watch your film, you can see why. Nightmare is like putting it lightly. But that's the thing. I try not to get too caught up, as nice as it is to hear somebody like John Gruden speak highly of a player that the Steelers just drafted.
Yep.
It's like, well, he does usually gas all the guys up that come through those doors.
I mean, I think he also said he believes Jackson Dart is going to be the second coming and is extremely high on him. And I'm really not. So, yeah, I mean, it's really confirmation bias a lot of the times. Like, I think that Will Howard has a chance to be good. And when someone who has worked with quarterbacks his entire life and has won a Super Bowl has the same opinion as me, it makes me feel smarter. But if Gruden said Howard, you know, he's going to suck, I'd probably point out some of the quarterback mistakes Gruden has made along the way to try to, you know, basically shoot down or minimize any point that he made. Here is Will Howard's biggest fan, the originator of the Big Ben 2.0 claim, the proprietor of BFF, and the leader of the Lunatic Fringe, Johnny the Barber. Hello, Johnny.
Hello, fellas. I cannot believe this talk about Will Howard is not a value-added draft pick. I mean,
is this a shot at Austin Bechtold? Is that what you're...
Yeah, Austin the Virgin and Pompeani Flapdog Joe decided to tee off on him. You know, Joe's like, oh, Dart. Dart's not going to be in the NFL in 4 years. You know, Will Howard is the real deal. You know.
Well, then why did he? What is your conspiracy theory as someone who believes in those things? What is your theory on why he slipped to the sixth round, Johnny?
Well, honestly, I think that the first rounds, I'll tell you exactly why. There's no theory. I'll tell you exactly why he fell the last rounds. BFF had a deal with the NFL owners. And what they did was, they, since we were such a new phenomenon, they laid off our picks until the second and third round. Then the third round came around, and notice every Ohio State man was flying off the board. That's when you knew that the NFL owners embraced BFF. They just didn't embrace Will Howard fast enough, and the Steelers got the steal of a lifetime.
Where will Will Howard be in 5 years?
In 5 years? He might not be with the Steelers, but he will be starting with a Super Bowl contending team, if not making the Steelers that.
Anything else?
O-H-I-O.
There you go. Yeah, Bechtold taking strays left and right here. I'll have to go back and listen to that, that apparently he was having to deal with countless accusations of Penn State bias again and how these Penn State fans rally together and root against and hope that players from rival schools, Michigan, Ohio State, Pitt, fail when they come to the Steelers.
I never really sense that, though, when it comes to Ohio State guys. Like, and I don't want to use the term big brother here when describing it, but I don't know. Like, I've never really noticed the animosity from any part of the fan base when the Steelers draft an Ohio State player.
Well, usually Ohio State's a really good team, and there's a belief that an Ohio State player is going to come here and do well.
Yeah, I mean, you know? there's a couple that they've drafted that are duds, but they've also had Cam Hayward.
They've had Shazier.
Santonio Holmes, Ryan Shazier.
Yep. And I don't remember Penn State fans rooting against James Conner.
I think the position has a lot to do with it here.
Quarterback. Yeah.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Howard, he's going to throw for it, though, to the corner, and it's caught. Agbuka again. Touchdown, Ohio State.
We played with a chip on our shoulder. I played free. You know, I just went out there and did my thing. And, you know, I feel like they really let me kind of be myself out there and distribute the ball. And it was the most fun four games I've ever been a part of and some of the most blessed times of my life.
National championship winning quarterback from the Ohio State Steelers sixth round pick, Will Howard. John Gruden today calling Howard the steal of the draft. Quote, that guy's a stud. Very few sixth round pick quarterbacks go on to big things. So Howard trying to be the exception to the rule. I do believe in him. I've got a soft spot for the guy. I'm not going to lie. I know our next guest does on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You've seen him on ESPN, works with the Fan in Columbus, Ohio. He's one of the great defensive players in Ohio State history. Bobby Carpenter is with us here on Cam Hayward's birthday. Bobby, I don't know if you knew that. Big Cam turned 36 today.
Yeah, I do a morning show in Columbus, Ohio, and so we have today in history, so I always have some significant events that happen, and then I have birthdays and passings. And so anytime there's a notable Buckeye birthday, I always make sure I get it. And so, yes, Cam being 36 and still playing football in like his 20th year in the NFL is remarkable.
From one Ohio State Buckeye to another, when you think of Cam Hayward, what are the things that first come to Bobby Carpenter's mind?
The depth of his voice, the size of his head, the broadness of his shoulders. Like, he's just a monstrous human being. And he got there maybe a year or two after I left, and I remember coming back in the offseason, and like, yeah, this is Ironhead's kid. And I'm like, yeah, 100%. Like, that, he checks all the boxes. He looks like his dad. He's a bigger version of that. He's got heavy hands. He's a physical guy. And probably one of the, and you would know this, like, and people in Pittsburgh probably do, one of the nicer and kinder people, but also one of the more intimidating figures you can also meet. And so for a guy like him to kind of balance that, where he's this overwhelming personality and you feel like he can kick your butt at any time, but also is like, has one of the best hearts of anyone. It was awesome. And he was back at the spring game a couple years ago, and I had my son with me, and I introduced him, and just the nicest guy in the world. I'm thinking, man, I just watched this dude destroy some centers and guards last year all season long.
That's a perfect description. All right, let's get to Will Howard. Gruden, who knows quarterbacks, he's a quarterback whisperer. He called Will Howard the steal of the draft. Do you think that's possible, Bobby? Do you see some of those characteristics in the Ohio State quarterback?
Yeah, I think he is. And I was amazed that he lasted as long as he did. Like, I understand there's some the Browns taking Dylan Gabriel okay. Like, there's some appeal with Shedeur Sanders. You know, Milroe's got, like, elite physical traits with as far as his legs and maybe arm strength, just accuracy is an issue. But if you look at a guy who you want someone to be a passer of the football, like, you don't draft a quarterback to go out and throw it. You draft him to pass and direct an offense. I'm not saying, well, Howard should have been the number one overall pick, but I didn't really love any of the quarterbacks in this draft. And if you're sitting there telling me, like, you're checking all these boxes of guys going before him, and I sat there and watched him get better and better and better and play bigger and bigger in the biggest moments. And yeah, he had good receivers, but to show me a quarterback in college that doesn't have really good receivers that usually has played well. So you look at some of the plays he made with either his legs, his completion percentage, because when he came to Ohio State, that was the worry. This guy's a 57% career passer. Mm-hmm. It's like, listen, well, let's put him in this offense. Let's let Ryan work with him and Billy work with him and see what they can do. He got better as a passer, and then I think he also got better as a quarterback. So I think he's one of the more NFL-ready guys you're going to find.
What is something that translates to the NFL in his game right away, Bobby? Well, he'll step out there in the preseason, and he won't look out of place as a quarterback.
I think his confidence and command. If you watch him go out there and direct a huddle, direct an offense, and you know it's not always going to be perfect. And that's why I think Gruden liked him a lot is, you know, plays get messy. Very rarely do you line up and the guy that you're supposed to throw to is open because you got the coverage you got, the protection was perfect and flawless. Like, he does a good job moving in the pocket. He finds the open guy, and he does a great job of keeping the chains moving. And there were some big drives that he made either by keeping it alive with his legs or buying some time and finding someone. But he's so accurate that he takes the layups. And so in the NFL, when you have an open slant or an out or an easy ball, you've got to hit that. Because if not, second and 10 is a lot different than a second and 3 as far as scheming and game planning that. And so he's done that very consistently, so he'll keep you ahead of the chain.
What's something he needs to get better at in the NFL, Bobby, if he's going to make it as a starting quarterback?
Yeah, you know, they talk about his deep ball prowess. Like, he doesn't have the strongest arm in the world, but, you know, I play with Romo, I play with Stafford, I play with Tom Brady. Like, Tony had an incredibly quick release. Stafford probably had the best and strongest arm of all of them. Tom was kind of somewhere in between. You know, I've played against guys that had rifles as arms. You know, you always try to work on your arm strength and try to do some of that so you can drive the ball deep down the field, like bang those deep outs. And I always say, like, Jeff George had one of the strongest arms to ever play in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You know, Jay had one of the best arms ever. Like, Jay was a good quarterback, but, like, he wasn't the best because there's so many more traits that go into it and the ability to sculpt the ball. And so if he just keeps working on his processing and he's put in a good position, like, I think the arm strength thing, and by the way, I do think arm strength matters more in some places than others. AFC North, NFC East, like, those places do matter a lot. But here's the thing. The guy played in a windy, like, 20-degree playoff game in Columbus, Ohio. He's from Pittsburgh. He played Philadelphia.
Yep.
But he played at Kansas State. Like, this isn't some guy that, you know, grew up in Calabasas and played at Arizona State. So he's got that in his DNA.
Bobby Carpenter with us here, Ohio State legend. You've seen him on McAfee, ESPN, does a great job in Columbus, back at the home of the Buckeyes on radio. Just a tremendous media talent talking about new Steelers quarterback, Will Howard. Thing about Brady for a second. I'm not comparing the two at all, even though they're both six-round picks. What I do think is interesting about Howard, though, Bobby, is he does seem to carry that chip on his shoulder around. He talked about how he wasn't recruited by Pitt or Penn State, how he was passed over by Penn State twice that fueled him in the game against Penn State and State College. Now I think the same thing's going to happen when he's a six-round pick. Like, there are certain guys, if they're going to make it as a long shot, you know, they got to have the right mindset and mentality. And from the outside looking in, I feel like this kid has that. Do you agree?
So when he got to Ohio State, I always think it's very interesting when you bring in this new era of transfer portal quarterbacks. And he was going into a team that had a lot of established starters and a lot of stars. And you're going in there and you're supposed to be the guy, but they don't know you. They know your film. And so you've got to earn their respect. and you have to win the locker room because you can't fool the room. Any NFL coach will tell you that, man. You cannot fool the room. Those guys, they can smell any type of insecurities and insincerity. And so Will came in and he just went to work. And he wasn't trying to break down the huddle day one or get on guys day one. He was the dude who stayed in there and is, you know, throwing the ball after practice, trying to get receivers in there, walking around in the lock in the weight room, picking up weights, picking up guys' sweat rags and stuff, and like throwing them in the bin. And like, so you see that work. And when you see guys do that, man, they're easy to pull for. And then all of a sudden you see them start putting it together on the field. And like, then you're able to follow that guy. Then you're able to believe in that guy the way that you do. And so getting a chance, you know, and I work out there a pretty decent amount. So watching this and just seeing it from afar, I was like, man, how good is this guy really? And, you know, seeing that, it was great. But really what I was most impressed with was his ability to come in and win the locker room first.
Bobby Carpenter with us, Ohio State legend. Give us a story or something about Jack Sawyer that you know Steelers fans are going to love, Bobby.
Oh, gosh. So Jack's an interesting one because, you know, my dad coached high school football in my hometown where he played as well for 31 years. And it's the town really adjacent to Jack. And so that was like our big rival growing up. They ended up splitting into two schools. But I've got a chance to watch Jack Sawyer, you know, from the time he was a freshman. And he was a big dude, and watching like his physical development, put on weight. And what was interesting is like he was always kind of the jack of all trades guy. You know, going back, I mean, I don't know how old you are, but man, you know, watching Cordell Stewart, you know, the slash out there. You know, you got Troy Polamalu, you're lining up in a million different ways, like areas. Like, Jack can do a lot. You know, like he's out there working on his drops. Like, he may not be the most explosive athlete you're going to find, but he's very fluid. He's good in space. He's a taskmaster. And so watching him through high school, like work on that, heck, he was playing quarterback. He's playing tight end, defensive end, like move him off the ball. Like, there's a lot of things he can do. He's a very, very natural athlete. And so you put him in a system like that, that really, the one thing that is always, I've always admired about the Steelers defense is the ingenuity and their creativity with unique players. And Jack will have some of that. I think you may have got two of the best Buckeye steals on that third day, because I don't know if many people believe that Jack was going to be around in the fourth round.
Bobby, I want to just run this by you quick. I know you're a little bit older than this guy, but Ross Tucker went on NFL Network, and he's based out of Harrisburg, and he said in all his years of watching Pennsylvania high school football, by far the greatest athlete he ever saw in person in high school football was Terrell Pryor. So I just wanted to, if you've got a Terrell Pryor story, anything on him, and if you want to answer that question, who's the best player you ever saw at that level, high school?
So I'll tell you this about Terrell Pryor. And Terrell, it was honestly, there's very few people that could go never playing receiver. You had one of them, Hines Ward in Pittsburgh, by the way, who played quarterback in
Georgia
in college. And then all of a sudden, it's like, hey, you go to the NFL. Yeah, we're going to put you a receiver. And Terrell even played quarterback in the NFL first and then made a shift like after he was there and had over 1,000 yards receiving. Like with the, it was crazy. And so I tell people this because, like, he may not have had the most gifted arm, and maybe even in today's NFL he would have been a little better. But because Vince Young was that guy in college for me, like, Vince was like trying to tackle a horse. I mean, he didn't maybe have the greatest arm, but he had made timely throws. He was so deceptively fast because he gobbled up yards because his stride was so long. And it's the same thing with TP. And I would come back, and a lot of Buckeyes do. They come back and train in the offseason. And like my old ass still goes in there and works out with these guys and tries. I try to pretend to be young, and so it keeps me a little bit there. But I'm in the league, I don't know, fourth, fifth year, and we're running. I've always been able to run conditioning pretty well. And Terrell like has like a pulled hamstring, and I don't know what's going on, but we're doing cut 200s down and back. So literally on one end zone, running all the way down and back. We're going to run like 8 to 10 of them. And Terrell's kind of like in the middle. And I'm towards the front, even with the receivers and the DBs. They're about maybe some of the guys 5 yards ahead of me. In the last three, like, I started getting on Terrell. So, like, dude, you're supposed to be the leader here. Like, you got to go. I don't – if you got a pulled hamstring, then just sit out, whatever. And I'm not kidding you. I mean, he's with guys – I'm trying to think, like, if Malcolm Jenkins was there. Like, there's guys who are, like, first and second round skill position players. He ran this cut 200, and about the 30 to 50 coming back out on that cut, so there's about 50 to 75 yards left, he, like, dropped it into another gear and, like, ran away from these guys like they were standing still and finished, like, 25 yards ahead of everybody else in the last, like, in the last three of them. And, like, trying to understand that for people, like, well, he's fast. I'm like, but everybody out there is fast. For someone to do that when they're like around guys who are 4-4 guys and just pull away because their stride is like 7 yards long and their turnover is the same, it's not even real. And I remember looking at that like, this guy can be whatever he wants. It's just going to be up to him if he's going to make that choice or not.
Bobby, thank you so much, man. Our YouTube comments and texters are loving it. We actually do have some Buckeye fans here in Pittsburgh who are a big fan of you and your career. So hat tip to you, and we'll do it again sometime. Thank you so much.
Hey, absolutely, man. Hopefully this audio was good. I'm in this hyperbaric chamber here, so I'm trying to...
Hyperbaric chamber? Holy cow.
Yeah, man. I took the mask off. Like, normally I got a little mask on and everything. Well, I mean, listen, dude, when you're old, you've got to try to stay young. And
so I agree.
My friend's got one, and so he's just use it whenever you want. I said, all right, man, we'll come up here and do some work and hang out and do some calls, whatever I got to do.
Perfect, man. Thank you so much, Bobby. Take care, brother.
Yeah, have a good one.
There you go, Bobby Carpenter.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.